Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today will be taken from our gospel reading in Luke chapter 18. No doubt somewhere along the line you have come across a child or a teenager who cried out, "That's not fair." And of course you've learned the answer to that, right? You're right. It may not be fair. And there's one thing that you have to learn very quickly. Life is not always fair. It's not only true for children, it's true for us in life in general. There is a whole lot of injustice in this world, isn't there? The airwaves are filled with it. The courtrooms are filled with people bringing their cases, saying that they've received unjust treatment and they want justice. There's accusations that fly right and left. People say that they've been treated unfairly and they're accusing others. Sometimes those complaints are justified, they are just, and other times even the complaints about injustice are unjust themselves. But our world is kind of a mess. And there is a lot of injustice that we see around us. And perhaps you've experienced that as well. Maybe there's been a time in your life where you have been wronged and you've cried out for justice to others. And maybe you've received satisfaction, and maybe you have not. Or maybe there's even been those times where you've just given up and walked away because you said it's not worth the fight. Yeah, I was done wrong, but I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to object. You see, and because we've experienced this, we understand this parable that Jesus places before us this morning. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' And for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" And we feel like that sometimes. We feel like that widow, and that we're not getting justice. And sometimes we don't. But in the end, the widow, as with Jacob in our Old Testament reading when he was wrestling with God, she prevailed. And she did get her justice. But as we come to this passage, we need to be very careful because it's easy to kind of get off track and end up somewhere where we really don't want to be, to misinterpret the parable. It's quite easy for us to do that because the passage starts with these words. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not to lose heart. And so we jump to the conclusion, and perhaps rightly so, that this parable is all about prayer and being persistent in prayer. And in a sense, it is. It's about prayer. It's about being persistent in prayer. But, you know, we can even take it to the place where we think, well, it's not just about prayer, but it's being persistent in prayer so that we can change God's mind to do what we want him to do. You know, if we're just persistent and we just pray long enough and hard enough, you know, we'll get what we want and we'll get God to do what we want him to do. But I think you're mature enough in the faith that you understand, and even as I was saying that, you say, well, that just doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like it's the lesson of this parable. And indeed, with your spiritual discernment, you begin to recognize that prayer is not about cajoling God. It's not about badgering him, beating him down so that somehow he changes his mind and gives you the justice that you want. That's not what prayer is about. But instead, prayer is about responding to a good and a gracious God who loves us. And we understand that as we have come to know God. So what is the parable about? In a sense, it is about the end result is that we would always pray and not lose heart. But there really is something that is more central to this parable that we're to be taught. And the answer is that it's the promise of God. That's what the parable is about, a promise of God, and that promise is that justice will prevail. Now remember, we're in the middle of a sermon series, right? We're talking about building on the promises of God. So now we're up to part 11 of that. We talked about many promises of God. We're adding another promise today, that justice will prevail. And then what does that mean for our lives? How do we go forth from there based upon that promise of God? And so it really comes down to what we find in verse 7 of our text for today. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? What I'd like to do with the rest of our time today is then just take that sentence and kind of break it apart into little smaller phrases, even words, to unpack this so that we can understand exactly what Jesus is teaching us in this parable. So let's start with just one word, a good word, God. Because that's what the parable is about. The parable is not about a persistent widow. The parable is not about an unjust judge, although they are a part of the story. The story really is about God and to teach us about God. We have to be careful here because if we start focusing on the wrong thing, we do end up in a place that we don't want to be. So if we start focusing on the widow, you know, then the parable becomes about being like the widow, right? And is that the point of the parable? You know, the woman is persistent in prayer. She gets what we want. And so therefore, if you are persistent, you will get what you want. Well, see, that's moralism, right? And that's not really what this passage is about. Likewise, if we're just focusing on the judge, we get in trouble as well because he's an unjust judge. And what are we saying? That God is like an unjust judge? And that you have to come to him and you have to, constantly beat up on him and wear him out so that finally, you know, he does what is right. You know, that's not what the parable is about either. And so we don't focus on the widow or the judge and just say that's the lesson, but rather it's just about God. And those two figures then help us to understand something more about God. So that's where we start. The parable is about God. All right, let's expand the sentence a little bit then. Will not God give justice? Okay, so the parable is very much about justice. And what's the answer that is being assumed? Well, of course. Of course God is going to give justice. We know God. We know who he is. We know that he is good, that he is righteous, that he always does what is good and what is right. And therefore, in these cases of justice. So, of course, God is going to give us justice. And then the passage goes on in verse 7b. Will he delay long over them? Then comes the answer. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. There's the promise of God that he will give justice. We kind of get tripped up over the speedily a little bit. You know, that's kind of hard to understand. You know, what do you mean speedily? Well, the answer to that is to understand that this passage is really has a focus on the end. It's what we say eschatological, which means looking at the end things. Now, how do we know that? Well, we have to do a little bit more study. If you go back to the verse, the passage that comes before this passage, And you see, what is that all about leading into this parable? We see that it's all about Jesus' second coming. And in that passage, you know, they say, well, you know, how will we know about the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, don't be deceived. There are going to be some people who say, oh, here he is. He's coming over here. He's out over here. Or he's out over there. He says, don't go running out to those places and looking for Jesus coming again. Because when Jesus comes, you're going to know it. It's not going to be secret. It's going to be evident to all. It's going to be like a lightning that lights up the sky. It's going to be that evident. You're going to know it when Jesus comes again. And then Jesus goes on to say, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah and Lot. So, what were those days like? Well, they were days of rampant sin, right? And there was judgment that came after that. Jesus said, that's what it's going to be like when I come again. It's going to be like the days of Noah and days of Lot. So I guess the world is going to get pretty bad before Jesus comes again. And then Jesus says, there are going to be two in bed. One will be taken, one will be left. There are going to be two working in the field side by side. One will be taken and one will be left. You see, there's going to be a division. There will be a judgment. And so the message of this parable is not so much that justice is going to come here and now. So God promises there will be justice, but then the question is when? And it's not so much that it's here and now, but in the end that it will come. So we understand that as long as we are living in this fallen world, that yes, there is going to be injustice. God has placed government over us, given the gift to us to try to mitigate that and to bring better justice into our world. But as long as we are living in a fallen world, there is always going to be injustice. We just have to deal with that. But God says, when the Son of Man comes again, when Jesus comes again, everything is going to be made right and justice will prevail. That's the promise of God. Again, let's expand the sentence a little bit more. Will not God give justice to his elect? And there's more good news, that God does have a chosen people. Who are they? They are those who have been baptized. They are those whom God has placed his name upon and forgiven their sins, brought them into his kingdom. They are those who have been grafted into the family of God. They are those who have been given and have received the covenant of God. And they are his beloved. That's what it means to be his chosen, to be loved by God. And you see, this reflects upon our relationship with him. Let's go back to the widow. You know, what was her relationship with the judge? Her relationship with the judge was adversarial, right? She had to keep badgering him. He didn't want to give her justice. She had, but again, the idea in this parable is not that we are alike, but it's a contrast. So God is not like the unjust judge. And our relationship with God is not like the one that the widow and the judge had. But rather, our God is good and gracious, and he loves us, and he wants to receive us, and he wants to hear our prayers. Indeed, God is more ready to hear than we are to receive. So this is God's grace to us, and this is the circumstance in which we find ourselves. Which then brings us to the final point today, where we expand it to the whole sentence. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him night and day? Here then is the proper place for us to place prayer. Here is the proper understanding of what prayer is. Again, not to badger or cajole God into doing something that he doesn't want to do, as if he's an unjust judge and we want him to do justice. No, it's the other way around. That God is a God who has promised that there will be justice, that he is good and gracious, and we are his beloved. And because of that, therefore we come to him and we pray. Therefore we always pray, and we do not lose heart, even though we are living in the midst of an unjust world where much injustice does happen. We don't lose heart because of the promise of God. Because we are confident that God, in fact, is going to do that which is right. And in the end, when Jesus comes, he will make all things right, and justice, in fact, will prevail. So, yes, Jesus tells us the parable to the effect, for the result, that we would always pray and not lose heart. That's the end goal. But how do we get there? And that's the point of the parable. We get there because of God's good and gracious promise to us that justice will prevail. And that's what we hold on to. That's what we build our life on. That is the foundation that with trusting hearts we come to God and we believe his promise that he is going to make all things right in the end. And therefore, we do not lose heart. And we always pray. In Jesus' name, amen.